The problem we have sometimes is when we look with the lust of the eyes, we look at the now without consideration of the future. Amen? We see it now. This looks good now. Well, what happens if you lose your job down there? Oh, God will take care of me. He'll provide for me. Really? But you couldn't trust him to provide for that car, but you're going to provide for your job. Amen? Devil's good at this, my friends. Devil is excellent at this. He did it. The reason we have sin in this world is because the first Adam and Eve who walked in the garden with God on a daily basis, God would come down in the cool of the evening, walk with them, talk with them, tell them all these wonderful things. And he said, you can do anything you want, just don't touch that. Just don't touch the one tree. Don't touch that. And the devil came down and said, look, I'm sure Adam and Eve, however you want to say it, I'm sure they walked by that tree many a day before they decided to make the move. They looked at that thing. Matter of fact, it says Eve looked at it and said, it looks good. That's pretty. I like that. And I'm sure they said to themselves, oh, no. No. You know what the Father said. Yeah, I know, but this looks so good. And in their heart, they know what God said. But in their mind, they're hearing different voices going on. The advertisers, every day, look at this. How many times it says, the advertiser says, you deserve this. They say, well, you owe $10,000 on your credit card, but we're going to cut it down for you because you don't have to deserve to pay it off, even though you're the one who caused it to be full. We're going to set you free from all of that. And your life is going to be so much better in that SUV, so much better. People are going to just fall all over you. Yeah. Amen. Hit the first deer with it. See what it looks like. Did it twice this year. So praise God. Amen. Lust of the eye. Be careful, my friends. The enemy's still working today. It looks better out there sitting at home than in here with the children of God. No, it doesn't. There is no life out there. They're out to steal, kill, and destroy everything in your life. Take it from you. They are not there to be a blessing for you. They're there to be a curse, because if it comes between you and them, you lose every time. But if you're in here, if it comes between you and Jesus, you win every time, because he paid the ultimate price for you. Keep your eyes at the cross, and the enemy will never get you enticed to look at the things of the world and desire that. And you will find a peace that passes all understanding. You'll say, wow, everybody's so caught up in what's going on. People getting killed and shot. Oh, it's terrible what's going on out there in the world today. Really? I don't know. I was facing the cross. Lust of the flesh. It says that they looked at the fruit. People use apple, whatever your fruit you happen to like the most. I like banana, so mine is a banana tree. That's my favorite fruit. Sorry, I like bananas. So it's a banana tree that would entice me, not so much the apple tree. You understand? The enemy uses whatever necessary. Not everybody here is going to be enticed with money. They'll be enticed with other things. So, lust of the flesh. It looks good to eat. That's what it said. The battle. What's it look good for you for? Wow, that dress looks good to me. I love my wife. I love her. One of the things that was a blessing but became a curse was the gathering place. I love my wife. Now, I am not putting her down. I'm expressing truth, and she knowed it. She knowed it. That means it. She knew it, and she knows it today. And you never heard me put her down. Not one person you ever heard me put her down. I never would. But I look back on things and I laugh, because yesterday, you'll find it when you go in there Tuesday. But when Diane went home, I went into the closet and I said, I finally got room. I got room. So I started taking her clothes and bringing it into the closet in the other bedroom. And it filled all the way across that closet. All the way across. It filled up my trunk, because yesterday I took it all out and put it on, hanging in the trunk of the car, was filled. Now, this is just her clothes. I mean, this is just dresses and pants, things that she never wore. Still has tags on them. But she would see something, and she looked at it, and she said, oh, this would look good on me. I thought about it, and I was laughing about it. I said, well, there goes mine. Because she would find things for me and put it aside for me. Now, no, don't do it, anybody. If I want something, I'll get it. Don't go looking for anything for me. Thank you. You're welcome. I release you from that just so you don't have to worry about it. But she looked at it and said, oh, that would look good on me. And I'm sure it would have. But what good is it? We run, we chase, we work our fingers to the bone. We do everything we can to get something that we want. We get it, and pretty soon it goes into a corner. It's forgotten. He said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added on to you. The kingdom of God and all of what he has offered to us far outweighs anything you can see down here in beauty. When I had that dream and I went to heaven, and I looked down and I saw this beautiful stretch of land, green, 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 like you've never seen green, a road that goes through it. It was a dirt road, and that was just, everything was perfect. Everything, the cow was a black and white cow, and it was perfect. I mean, perfect. The colors, everything was perfect. And I said, this is not heaven, because if it was, it would be golden streets. And the angel said, you're mistaken. He said, the golden streets are only in the city, not out here. Amen. Don't lust after the things down here. What God has prepared for you, the Bible says, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no heart has conceived of all that God has prepared for those who love him and called according to his purpose. God has given you mammoth amount of gold. So I don't care what Glenn Bed says, don't buy gold off because you're afraid of the market's going to fall. If you're going to lay up treasures, find a way to lay them up in heaven. Does God care about whether I buy this or do that? God only cares about how it affects your life. Because if it separates you from his life, he knows the end of it's going to be a mess. You understand? Just because somebody looks good, don't chase after them. Just because something tastes good, don't eat it. Paul said, I bring my body, he said, I punish my body so I'm not going to be disqualified. In other words, he's saying to himself, he went through many times of fasting and prayer. God calls us to fast and pray. Sit down and say, wait a minute. I'm not going to do this anymore. And I'm not going to let my body dictate to me what I want or don't want. Amen? It's a battle. I'm going through it. I'm fighting that urge just to eat. So what I have determined in my heart to do, and I've been doing it for a few weeks now, I fast on Friday, Saturday, until after Sunday service. No food. Why? I'm determined to not let the lust of the flesh to dictate my life. I am determined not to let sin dominate my life. Now, I can't fast for 3 days a week on my own, so I have to go to God and ask for grace. Help me, Lord. I'm willing to do it, but the Spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. But it's not impossible. It's not trying to get me to lose weight, although it does and it helps. But it's getting me to a point that just because I see something I want, I'm not going to chase after it. Because that's how the devil gets us. If he can control you, he's got you. Pride of life. He said to Adam and Eve, listen, this will make you wise like God. And God doesn't want you wise like him. He wants you to be stupid. That's basically what he was saying to him. He wants to keep you stupid. And he knows if you eat of that, you'll be just like him. But the depth of the lie was so great that they couldn't see out of the darkness into the light. Because if they could see it, if they hadn't first of all looked at the lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, and have already determined in their heart, yes, Lord, thank you, had determined in their heart they wanted this thing. He said they needed a justification for doing it. That's what he just told them. He said they've already made up in their mind that's what they wanted. But they also knew that they shouldn't do this. So give me a reason for doing it. And he did. Because you will be just like God. Why should I be like have that brand new car and SUV? Because now you'll be like everybody else out there, only better. And obviously, I want to be better than everybody else. Oh, nobody in here is like that. Nobody in here ever thinks to themselves, man, I wish I was up here looking down instead of down here looking up. I wish our church was as big or bigger than the biggest church around. I wish every seat was filled and people were waiting to get in to get to. We got to build more buildings and we got to do all this. Why? For the glory of God? Jesus taught out in the wilderness. He didn't have to have a big building. They went up on a portico and they preached the gospel. 3,000 souls got saved in one day without a church, without a building. So why do we need to build the buildings? Why do we have to have bigger, better, more? Because it makes us look good. Makes us look good. I remember people coming into this church after they loved the building, they loved the church, they loved the service, they loved the worship, they loved everything, but the building wasn't up to their standard. They actually told Diane this. It's nice, but, you know, we need more. And now look, I wasn't offended by it. My concern is that we're looking for something to satisfy our flesh rather than satisfy our heart. and to get our mind in alignment with God's Word. I don't care what's the Word say. What profit a man if he gain the whole world and loses his soul? If you have everything you ever wanted in this life, but you're full of turmoil and chaos, full of fear and doubt, non-belief, full of all the anxieties and cares of this world, what profit you? In the end, you want the blessing or the curse? In the end, do you want the peace that passes understanding? You want the joy that fills your heart and your mind? You praise God every day, no matter what's going on in your life, you praise Him. Now you take a moment and say, Lord, I have a need. I need. He said, okay. I see your heart, and I see your heart's desire, and that is to know me and to share that knowledge with others. And I'm going to bless you because that's who I am. But I won't bless you if you're going to take it and use it for your selfish motives. A selfish motive is one who takes care of me without consideration of the rest. Selfish motive who takes what they have been blessed with and uses it to glorify and gratify the flesh without even considering our brothers and sisters in Christ around us. The enemy of our soul, lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Whatever you do in secret, God says He'll manifest openly. If you pray in secret, He manifests openly your answers. If you give in secret, He manifests openly as He returns to you the blessings that you'll not be able to contain. We can overcome. How do we do that? Okay. Hallelujah. You ready? Excuse me for a second until I can find it. Is it in this place? I think somebody moved it. There it is. It was in the Bible. This here is on our bulletin. If my people who are called by my name, are you called by His name? Are you a servant of the Most High God? Is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Are you children of God? Are you children of Jesus? Are you joint heirs with Him? Amen? If my people who are called by my name, He's talking to us. How do we overcome the enemy? Because what happens is, at the moment, it seems everything is fine. Because, oh, well, I'm doing this and nobody cares and nobody sees and God isn't doing anything about it and nothing's here. God is long-suffering. He will wait on you. He'll encourage you. He'll bring you the Word. The Spirit of God will convict you. But sooner or later, He's going to straighten it out. You saw what happened to Adam and Eve. Just imagine the same temptations were given to Jesus, which they were, you know, when He was taken out into the desert. The same exact temptations were given to Him. Amen? He promised him, He said, if you'll worship me, I'll give you everything in the whole world. I'll give you the whole world. Just think about it. Because he was perfect, and Satan knew who he was. He knew he was the Son of God. He had no doubt who he was. But Satan already knows you and me. He knows how to tempt us. He doesn't need the whole world to tempt most of us. Very small things. But once he's got you, he infects your whole life, not just a little bit of it. Look what he says here. If my people who call by my name will humble themselves, amen, humble yourself before God. Admit to him. Confess your sins to him. Say to him, Lord, I've been doing this my own way for so long, I forgot how to depend on you. Help me. Then hang on. Because when he helps you, it's going to get bumpy for a while. He's got to shake some things loose. What's in your hand and you hold on to, and what gives you pride and what gives you all, oh, look at my life. It's so wonderful because I've got all this stuff. God says, no, I got to shake some of that loose. Let go. Hallelujah. You call by my name will humble themselves. How do you humble themselves? Most in the times of the scriptures, it was fasting and prayer. You have to fast. Humility is letting go, no longer satisfying the flesh, no longer satisfying the lust of the eyes. No, I'm going to get my face into the floor. I'm going to look to you, Lord God, to deliver me out of this. I can't do it on my own. I recognize that. I admit that. I confess that. I am not perfect. I am far from it, and I am far from you. We used to be closer than this. We used to be closer than this. Something has separated me from you. Hallelujah. He said, if you'll humble yourself and pray and seek my face. What does he mean, seek my face? Seek his presence. His face just is his presence. How do I get into the presence of God? He said, if you draw close to me, I'll draw close to you. God wants an intimate closeness with us that goes far beyond the intimacy of this worldly system and the things of this world. Again, remember, the world doesn't love you. They want to use you. Our own government says this is a consumer nation. Their whole prosperity in this life, in this government, is that you buy something. If you don't buy, the economy collapses. Because it's not based on anything solid. For instance, like the Word of God. It's based on smoke and mirrors. It looks good. But in the end, it's going to crumble. We need to get before God and seek His face and His presence. And before you make a purchase that the world is trying to entice you into, make sure you hear from God before you do anything. Whether it's a small pot you saw on TV and said, oh, I think I'll buy that, or an SUV, or a new house, or whatever it is. Any choice you make, and especially if you've got a relationship involved in it, make sure you know you hear from God. I am telling you, I made a ton of mistakes in my life because I was enticed with these rather than with this. I told Diane, and I told you guys, when I got with Diane and married her, it was out of lust. When I came to God, it was out of lust. You understand that? I didn't want to go to hell. It was all about me. You understand that? It's taken many years for me to grow into love with Diane. It took many years. The last years were better than any of them because we loved one another. And it was a love based on truth. This is really who we are. Were we perfect in all our ways? No, she had a long way to go. But she beat me. She got a reward long before I did. I often go to God and say, how come I'm still here? He said, I got some things I need to deal with before you come up here. I don't want you up here with what you're carrying around. And you go, well, thanks, Lord. I'm only kidding. All right, not really, but I am. All right. I've fallen in love with God. Amen? Because it's no longer about what He gives me. It's what He's done for me. Amen? I just want to be in His presence. When Diane first went home, I always wanted to go because she was there. Now I want to go because He's there. True. I'm going to be blessed because I'll see the rest, but I'm excited about walking through that and seeing his face. And he comes up and puts his arms around me and says, "Welcome, good and faithful sir. Come enter into your rest." That's the excitement that I live with on a daily basis. Seek him. Get close to him. He's the best. I want to say the right word. The best that you'll ever have of anything. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. He never judges you. He'll never condemn you. He'll never cause you to cry and tears of fear and pain and suffering. That's not his way. Jesus said, "I came to bring them life and more abundant life." Once our mind has been settled and we come to a place of understanding, okay, I know who's at work with me now because all I can see is that which I desire in the flesh, and I know that is not of you, Father. So I cast down those vain imaginations that exalt themselves above the knowledge of you. I come into your presence with thanksgiving, with praise. How do I do that? Praise him, worship him. Amen. Get into the Word. Speak the Word. That's your weapon. The faith that you have is your shield. It quenches every fiery dart of the evil one. And trust me, he knows how to get to us. He knows how to get to me differently. He knows how to get to you. I am not moved by some things. Some things I'm very easily moved by. But I'm learning. I'm starting to dig in my heels. I'm starting to... No more. Whatever time we have left on this earth, I want to live it in his presence, with his presence, and for his presence. Amen? Does that mean all day long all you do is da, da, da? No. But I know this, all day long the Holy Spirit's speaking. The Holy Spirit's drawing me. The Holy Spirit's calling me. Come on. Come to him. Wants to talk to you. Yeah, but you don't know all the things I got going in my life. Come on. God will bring order to your life. God will bring order to your life. Out of that chaos, out of that emptiness, God will bring order. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. He said this, "If my people are called by my name, will humble themselves, pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven." How many know God? They should have wore a belt. How many know God hears everything you got to say? When you talk to your wife or your husband, he knows exactly. Right now, Diane may know what I just said. I had a dream. A few weeks back, in the dream, I mean, it was so realistic. I mean, I only remember the dreams I believe are from God. I don't remember any other type of dreams. And in the dream, I'm trying to call Diane on the cell phone. And no answer. And this guy, this voice comes, and he says, "You can't reach her. She's too far away. But if you talk to me, I will talk to her for you." I said, "Yes, sir." How many know I got a direct connection to heaven? Amen? You guys got a direct connection to heaven. You got loved ones up, you can call up and say, "Hey, tell them I love them." You think he'll do that? I do. You may not be able to talk to them. The Bible tells us not to talk dead. Right? Doesn't it? Jesus isn't dead. He's alive. Amen. Hallelujah. God is good to us. Amen. He said, "If you'll seek me with all your heart, you will find me." There are things in this church, people in this church, who God wants to use. You hear what I'm saying? There's giftings that you have been given, even talents. Talents, I believe, are natural. Giftings are spiritual. And I believe we have talents and spiritual. And the purpose they were given to us was to promote the kingdom of God. There's people in here the Holy Spirit wants to use to lay hands on the sick, to perform miracles, to raise the dead if necessary, to preach, to teach. Holy Spirit's at work. He's trying to get us in alignment so that our will becomes His will. And His will becomes our will. You can't change God. But if you let Him, He can change us. Amen? In the end, we win. Amen? We win. And I praise God. That's what He said. Then I'll hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and heal their land. God wants to heal the problems in your life. Jesus came to set the captives free, to heal the brokenhearted, to deliver those who are bound, and proclaim the year of the Lord. Jubilee. Now is the time to rejoice. Now is the time to rejoice. He said, this is a day that I have made. You shall rejoice and be glad in it. So my prayer in the morning is, Father, you made this day for me, and I am going to be glad and rejoice in this day, period. Not if this goes well or if that goes bad or whatever it is, has no bearing on what I'm going to do. Because I am moved by the Spirit, not by the flesh. Amen? Hallelujah. Let's bow our heads. Father, we thank you, Lord, this morning for your grace, your mercy, and your love. We thank you for the power of your Spirit manifested in our lives. Lord, we pray today that your word, Father, your Spirit, your grace, your mercy, your love, your power, have your way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. We have communion this morning, so if you prepare, please. Hallelujah. And we'll take up our offering at the same time. Glory to God. Thank you, Daniel.